Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's good to be here. I don't know what it was like for you this week, but I kind of just floated off of last week into this week because, wow, did we have a time meeting with Jesus. That was pretty amazing, and we saw God do some very, very exciting things. Hey, we're sorry about the screen. We don't know what's going on, but I did learn to sing. I just always sang connect input one, connect in, to every whatever we were singing, those were the words. But it probably does us good. Just one second. If I stay down here, you guys, is that okay on the cameras? Paul, are we good if I stay here? You're good? Okay, thanks. So, anyway, you know, the downside of technology is sometimes it doesn't work, right? The upside is that those of us who grew up with hymn books and chorus books, right, we already know most of the lyrics, right? And so you just kind of tap in, and when you don't know what to do, you just make your mouth go watermelon, watermelon. It looks like you're singing, right? Nobody else knows, and so it just is what it is. And so we're going to do communion today, but I want to kind of preface some remarks and then set it up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we want to take our time. We want to take our time just to worship, to pray, and to partake, and minister to one another, and just give ourselves a whole lot of space, give Jesus a whole lot of space to do what he wants to do with us. So sometime in February, Lynn Hahn invited us to her house for lunch, and there was us, and Maria and Carlos were there, and Natalie and Elias were there, and Claudio and Heidi were there, and who else was there? Who am I missing? Lynn? Were you guys? No, you weren't. Jerry was. We just had, and I mean, like, let me just say this. If Lynn invites you to her house for a meal, first of all, you should fast for 2 days before you go, because there is so much food. And then you should probably fast for a few days after, just to shed it, right? This is not a Weight Watcher church, I can tell you that. It's not a Weight Watcher church. But we shared this wonderful meal together, and while we were sharing the meal together, somebody pipes up, and because we were doing our AGM a few weeks later, and it's like we're going to just do a potluck, and you know what? Who knows what a potluck looks like? I'm bringing mac and cheese, you know. You're bringing, you know, hot dogs and mac and cheese, and right? It's just kind of yeah, blah, whatever. And somebody said, "Wouldn't it be? I raise a hallelujah," right? And so, you know, it was this moment where it was like, hey, what if we did an international dinner? There we go. We did an international dinner, and the thing just took legs. And then Lynn got involved and kind of helped us with some things. And Claudio and Maria said, well, we can bring this. And Elias and Natalie said, well, we'll bring beef empanadas. And so Barb didn't hear her. And Barb goes, why is, on the way home, she goes, why is Natalie bringing beef and bananas? And so, why is Natalie bringing beef and bananas? We love your beef and bananas. You can bring them anytime. We love the beef and bananas. But something amazing started to happen around that table. In fact, if I look back and see what God is doing today, I'd say that what we see today started happening at Lynn's table. God used that moment at the table to spark something. Now, I know that because I've been doing this for 40 years. And I mean, I know I only look like I'm 30, but right, I've been doing this for a long time. And I know that for most of my time in ministry, communion has always looked like this. Oh, it's the first Sunday of the month. It's that thing we need to do at the end of the service. Right? You know, like, get the people, make sure we have the we used to do broken crackers, right? Crackers and communion, you know, and Welch's, and right, get all of our stuff together. And it was kind of like we throw this on at the end of the service. Maybe sometimes we did it in the middle of the service. And it was like we ticked the box. We did it again. And that's good. That's nothing wrong with that. But I think a better thing is to go, you know what? What if we just blocked a Sunday every so often, generally after a series? What if we just blocked a Sunday And we gave Jesus the whole Sunday where we could meet with him around the table. And I think that, you know, bang for the buck, if you will, that's a better way for us to remember this moment. So this is what's set up in front of you is special for a whole bunch of reasons. Wayne built the table. Hey, Wayne. Wayne built the table. When I started thinking about this, it's like, I want to do something really symbolic, something that people will remember. And I thought, one of my favorite people in the whole world was Ione Robinson. So I texted Lynn and I said, is there a chance that you have your mom's china? So this is Ione's china. Was Ione's china. So Lynn tells me, yeah, yay Jesus, thank you, Lynn. Lynn tells me the china is 70 years old and the silverware is 100 years old, right? So if you think you want to take a piece of 100-year-old silverware home, we're going to be frisking you on the way out. It's not going to be happening. That's not going to happen. But thank you, Lynn, for doing this. And then the flowers, I know, come from Lynn's garden. And so it's just this beautiful way to bring us together. So I want to talk with you this morning about Meet Me. My title today is Meet Me at the Table. And just give me a second to, maybe my slides don't work either, and then we're going to really be in for a surprise today. And so, right, or maybe not. There we are. So yeah, so the theme is Meet Me at the Table. And here's where I want to go. There are some things that we kind of gloss over in the scriptures. We don't really take time to think about. But today I want us to focus on just for a few minutes some key kind of details and thoughts that we sometimes blow by. Like, there's a difference, as you know. There's a difference between it being 5 o'clock and opening up the fridge and going, what are we having for dinner tonight? Like, sometimes that happens, and sometimes there's leftovers and that's the plan. What are we having for dinner tonight? You want fries with that? You know? There's a difference between that and doing what Lynn did when she invited, not what she did, what she does, because she does this a lot. Lynn inviting, planning for a meal and inviting people over, and she likes to experiment. And so here's my humble suggestion is just walk by Lynn and look hungry and bat your eyes after church, right? And maybe you'll get an invitation to see what she's cooking and what she's making. But hidden in the Gospel of Luke's telling of the Passover meal that Jesus had, the Last Supper, there are some really, really interesting things that show up. And so let's read this, the passage together. I'll read it. You can follow along as we hit the screen. There it is. So Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Well, where do you want us to prepare it? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher or carrying a water pitcher will meet you. Follow him at the house he enters. Say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. So they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said. Lord, would you speak to us today? And more importantly, would you meet with us today? Change our hearts, change our lives, do your work in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a real kind of cloak and dagger, kind of spy, Jason Bourne thing that happens in this passage. In Luke 21, earlier in Luke chapter 7, right, the Bible tells us that Judas had already determined he was going to sell Jesus out. He was going to throw Jesus under the bus. He was going to crucify him or betray him and hand him over to be crucified. Only Judas and Jesus and the priests, but Judas and Jesus are the only two within the group of 12 that know that that's what's going on. So when Jesus says to Peter and John, hey, go to Jerusalem and make preparations for the Passover, after that, everything happens in code so that only Jesus and Peter and John know what's going on. And it's kind of crazy what happens, right? It's like, go to Jerusalem. Imagine this. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Vancouver. Go to Toronto. Go to wherever and look for a man carrying a pitcher of water when you come into the city. Well, it seems pretty simple to me, right? Because in my head, I don't know anything about Jewish culture to speak of, so it wouldn't twig on me that men did not carry pitchers of water. Women carried pitchers of water. Men carried leather bags of water because they were heavier and they could carry more water. So here is this guy that Jesus arranges for. Nobody, only Jesus can do this. Jesus arranges for this guy to be carrying probably his wife's pitcher full of water. And he arranges for this guy carrying this pitcher of water to be visible to Peter and John when they come in to the city. That speaks to preparation and planning. When the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, in this case, he's not kidding. He ordered that guy's steps, right? They follow him to the house, right? Just play the spy music back in your head. Do, 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 right? All of that. Play that spy music. That's what's going on. Peter and John follow this guy, and he goes to the house, and they knock on the door, and they say, hey, the master, because this guy happens to be a disciple, not part of the 12, but in the broader group, the master, so he knows it's Jesus, says he wants to do the Passover here. And the guy says, yeah, come with me. And he takes them upstairs into a room that is fully set up for a Passover meal, all prepared in advance. All Peter and John have to do is go down to the temple, sacrifice a lamb, bring it back and roast it. Judas and the other 10, or the other 9, Judas and the other 9 have no idea on the location. That matters. Because if Judas knew where the location was, he could tip off the priests. They could come and arrest Jesus before this meal of remembrance is ever put in place. Because that's how well Jesus prepared for this time together. Now think about this for a minute as we approach the table today. If Jesus put that kind of time and thought and energy into planning the first meal like this, what do you think he's done for us today? Is this like just a haphazard thing? Oh, it's the Sunday where we do this. Or has Jesus prepared something in advance for us, for you, for me? Is there something he wants to say to you? Is there something he wants to say to me? Is there something he wants to do in us? Is there something he wants to do for us? Is there something he wants to do through us? Is there something he wants to draw our attention to? I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. It's absolutely yes. He has a plan for you and me and us this morning as we gather at this table. Pretty awesome, hey? Pretty awesome. So it changes, right? Like, because for me, it was always like, you know, in our first church, right? We all wore dark suits. You probably remember that. You had to wear a dark suit on Communion Sunday. You better look extra somber, like you're going to a funeral. Right? Look extra somber on that day. I remember we were pastoring in Camas at the time, and for some reason, I had a light green suit, and I still wonder why I had a light green suit, but I did. And I had a light green suit, and I put it on first Sunday of the month, wore my suit to church, and was like, get to church. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing a light suit on Communion Sunday. And I went to like who would have been like our lead board member guy. I said, John, I'm really sorry, but I wore a light suit. I can go home and change if you think I should. I think you look okay. Whew, dodged a bullet. Dodged a bullet. So Jesus prepares for this meal. When I first started going to work in, when I was working in Toronto, commuting back and forth, I became friends with a guy who now sits on our board, and we went out for breakfast. And I don't really know a lot about him, and we're just getting to know each other. So the bill comes, and I reach for the bill, and he pushes my hand away, and he says to me, "Tim, are you rich?" I was like, dude, I've been a pastor my whole life. I'm not rich at all. And he goes, well, I'm really rich. It's like, hatta la manda, yeah. No. Right? He says, I'm really rich. And so he says, when we go out for a meal, you don't ever reach for the bill. I will always pick up the bill whenever we're together for a meal. It's like, I raise a hallelujah, steak and lobster for breakfast. Right? All the ministry people shout amen. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see is that Jesus picks up the check for this meal. Every time we come to this table, every time we come to him and we ask him to look after whatever it is we're praying for over on that board, every time we do that, he picks up the tab. Every single time. Every single time. And look how he does it. Right? Look how he does it. Out of Isaiah chapter 53, paraphrased a little bit, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. Our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus said this. Sometimes we look at this as kind of like it's the shame game, right? Look at all the terrible things that I did that nailed Jesus to the cross. It's like, no. Jesus said, look, greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So there was no thought in Jesus' mind that dirty, rotten Tim, all the terrible things that he did, is going to nail me to the cross. That was never in his mind. It was like, Tim needs a savior. Tim needs to be rescued. Tim needs to be set free from his rebellion. Tim needs to be healed. I will lay down my life for him. That's how he approached this. That's how he approached this. It's our sins. It's our weaknesses. It's our frailty. It's our rebellion. It's our brokenness. It's our sickness that he picked up the tab for. Let me look after that for you. You don't have what it takes to cover this meal. Let me look after that for you. See this next part. Jesus looked forward to this meal. Look at that picture of that guy. He's just like so excited. Whatever it is he's going to dive into, he just looks like he can hardly wait to get there. But he says to the disciples, I've looked forward to this meal. The message says it this way. When they sat down together, you've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before my time of suffering. He's told them the suffering is coming. They don't know what's coming that night. Only he and Judas know what's about to go down. You have no idea how much I've looked forward to this. These are his people. This is his tribe. These are the people that he's poured his life into. And he's saying, I can't tell you how much I have longed to sit down with you and have this meal. It's a beautiful, it's a wonderful thing. See, our proclaiming, right, when the line is out of Corinthians, right, that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, our proclaiming of the beauty, the power, and the hope of his death brings him great joy. It's like, these are my people. These are my people who are identifying with me, that they belong with me. We identify as his friends, his people, his church. And Jesus shows up in these moments because he loves his people. Okay, one more and then we're going to transition. Everyone is welcome at the table. Everybody's welcome at the table. You know what? What's really interesting is, so Jesus has 12 disciples. On the night he's betrayed, he says to two of them, one he says to Peter, he goes, I've prayed for you, Peter. Just casually over there, Peter, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. Say what?
Peter's like offended. Jesus, what do you mean? I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you, whatever you want. And Jesus goes, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny you know me three times. But Peter is welcome at the table. Judas, who'd already sold Jesus out, is welcome at the table. Jesus doesn't send him on an errand so that he can't be there. He is as welcome at the table as John or James. He's welcome with the gang. Everyone's welcome at the table. I know that sometimes we sit there and go, you know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the things I've thought. You don't know the things I've said. You don't know what I'm wrestling with. There is no way on God's green earth that he wants me at this table. I'm telling you, if Judas is welcome at the table, and if Peter is welcome at the table, you're welcome at the table. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. You're welcome at the table. You're welcome at the table. Jesus wants to meet you here. Jesus wants to meet you here. And so we're going to take time to do that. So here's what it's going to look like today. We're going to, Barb's going to come and begin to lead us in some worship. And then as the worship team partakes, whenever you get to that place, you guys can go up and take your spot. And we're just going to leave it wide open, right? I'm not going to, you can line up if you want to line up. If you want to stay seated and come and partake, however you want to do it. And as we partake, we're going to let that part happen. When that looks like it's just about done, Doug is going to come, Jane is going to come, Sandra's going to come, and we're going to be available. We'll let you know when that's happening. Be available to pray for you, those of you who would like someone to pray for you. If you have a relationship with people in the room and you want to pray together with them, go and do that. If there's things you need to sort out with people, go and do that. This is just this time of we gather as a family. We come together to let Jesus work in our hearts and lives. Sound good to you? All right, let's pray together. God of mercy, God of grace, we acknowledge that you have a plan for this moment as we come to this table. We know that before the foundations of the earth were laid, you saw this day and you mapped out what you wanted to do in us, for us, and through us. And so we say yes to your plan. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your desires. Come and speak to us. Come and work in us. Come bring healing to us. Bring restoration to us. Redeem us. Strengthen and encourage us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.